शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं मनोबुद्ध्यहङ्कारचित्तानि नाहं न च श्रोत्रजिह्वे न च घ्राणनेत्रे न च व्योमभूमि न तेजो न वायु चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न च प्राणसंज्ञो न वै पञ्चवायु न वा सप्तधातुर्न वा पञ्चकोशा न वाक्पाणिपादं न चोपाष्टपायु चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न मे द्वेषरागौ न मे लोभमोहौ न मे वै मदो नैवमाचर्यभावा न धर्मो न चार्थो न कामो न मोक्षो चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न पुण्यं न पापं न सौख्यं न दुःखं न मन्त्रो न तीर्थं न वेद न वै न यज्ञ अहं भोजनं नैव भोज्यं न भोक्ता चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं न मे मृत्युशङ्का न मे जातिभेदा पिता नैव मे नैव माता न जन्मा न बन्धुर्न मित्रं गुरुर्नैव शिष्या चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं अहं निर्विकल्पो निराकाररूपो विभुत्वच्च सर्वत्र सर्वेन्द्रियाणां न च साङ्गं नैव मुक्तिर्न मे वा चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं चिदानन्दरूपा शिवोऽहं शिवोऽहं थैंक यू
Jai Sadhguru.
That is lovely. Nice. Yeah, nice voice. Oh, Andrew, you were singing along.
Just the refrain.
Yeah, Shiva. I like
Yeah,
it.
the Kakarati. Did you do Kakarati just now? Earlier?
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, if you actually we sing at the end of the Kakara Arati, and if you remember the meaning of it, you know, they start, you know, discarding the intellect, they discard, discard the body, they discard all the relationships like mother, father, and beyond all these things, whatever is existing, that is you, that's Shivoham. The meaning is really beautiful. It's a nice reminder.
Yes.
Beyond
Go
con-
ahead.
I was just going to say, beyond concept without let's see, beyond concept, without form, beyond change.
Oh.
All pervading in all.
That's what it means.
You know, all pervading in all the senses. No, that's just one part of it, actually.
When at the end they say that is whole and perfect, even when you remove the whole and perfect, what remains is whole and perfect, or something in that way. How is it exactly? Do you have it on the...
In the end, so like I'm devoid of duality. My form is formless. I exist everywhere, pervading all senses. I'm neither attached, neither free nor captive. I am the form of consciousness and bliss. I'm the eternal Shiva.
No, but I mean at the end, like when they have the bhajan and that lady, when I was at the ashram, the lady would sing that. And then at the end she'd go, om. And then it would be like a little refrain of that is whole and perfect. Actually, I can look it up on that.
That is, let's see. That is whole and perfect. That is whole and perfect. This is whole and perfect. From the whole and perfect, let's see. If the whole and perfect is your source from the whole and perfect, even still, only the whole and perfect will remain.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Yes.
So it's all
like
good.
At the very end, you know, after they've sung Shinanda Rupa, and then it stops.
Uh-huh.
And as they're doing that, they do Om, and then it's...
Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnatsam.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. That's okay.
Yes, yeah, yes.
I like that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the lady who sings it at the ashram is like unbelievable, especially in the ashram, the way it's like a... like an angel singing, and it resonates throughout the ashram, and you just, the vibration is just amazing. And then, of course, they're giving out the prasad, you know, Maharaj blesses, and then they give out the prasad, and we all share in that, and then you have your tea, your chai, which is also very nice.
Yeah.
I miss that chai a lot, actually, because that is very delicious.
I know.
I tried those sentences, huh? Om Purnamada.
Exactly.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. That is the whole, this is the whole. From the whole arises. Taking away the whole remains.
Yes, oh, yes.
Beautiful.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, I might be digressing. I don't know.
No. It's all good. It's very nice. Very, very good.
It's very nice. Nice way to start.
Good.
There's also the Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Means may all beings and all worlds be happy or be blessed. Everybody knows that one. It's very common. So what is there to say after that?
Indeed.
That says it
Thank
all.
You, Rami.
That's like from the... Ashvamedha Gita.
Uh-huh.
It's another beautiful Ashtavakra Gita. Gita yes. means song. It's a beautiful Gita. It's common in the literature. I don't know specific to this lineage or not, but yeah.
It's one of the, literature, you know, generally people prescribe in, like, who tries to understand it through negation, non-duality.
Uh-huh.
One is the Yoga Vasistha, and other one is Astavaka Gita. And there are few, it is equal with the Yoga Vasistha.
But the
Ribhu
Gita, that's another one.
Ribhu Gita, yeah. And the Viveka Chudamani. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just know that all of those were sung by yourself. Like, that one self is all there is, that you are. That the Ribhu Gita, the Ashtravakra Gita, all the everything, the hymns, the books, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, any book, because it all arises from you. So it's you. The true you, once you stop imagining yourself to be something other than yourself, and you just remain with yourself, manifests in all these various forms and speaks or sings about your self-discovery.
Yeah, it's not something other.
No.
Yeah, in the Christian, a lot of times it's God is seen as something other, you know, that the so it's a.
Well, but they eliminate that through the Holy Spirit, because even when Jesus says, okay, go out and preach, and I give you the Holy Spirit to preach, that's the same thing. Presence.
Yeah.
The recognition of presence, and now speaking without the identification with a body form. So presence speaking plainly and clearly. And then all of these guys became apostles or whatever, but all of these guys are your own self.
Yeah. Yep.
And the only way, because somebody might say, well, that's blasphemy to say you're Jesus Christ. Well, no, Jesus Christ is a manifestation of the unmanifest speaking in the recognition and the projection. That's all.
Yeah.
And there's no John that thinks he's Jesus Christ. That formless presence took the form of Jesus, took the form of Buddha, took the form of Ashtravakra Gita, took the form of Ramana Maharshi. And in those specific forms understood, I'm formless. I'm not this Ramana Maharshi. I'm not this Jesus guy. I'm formless. I'm all of everything. And of myself, I'm nothing. The Father doeth the works, because this is an empty instrument and the formless presence is moving it about.
Right.
And I have no ideas of myself as something separate. I'm not a preacher or a teacher. I'm a lump of bones and flesh that's animated by this spirit, presence, consciousness.
Right. And yeah, that's what Jesus was, someone who manifested the Christ consciousness. You know, it's just, and that's universal. So when he says, I am the way and the life, except you come through me, you don't get there. It's he's talking about not him as a person. He's talking about the spirit of Christ. You know,
exactly.
Christ consciousness.
He knows himself as formless, and he says, I am the way and the life and the truth. Nobody gets through me, gets to the Father, except through me. And yeah, not me as this human body, because you can't get to the Father through the human body. You have to remove the human body, and then I and the Father are one. There's a recognition. That's all.
Yeah.
As long as there's a body there and an idea about a body, then it's in Siddhameshwar Maharaj says, please, if you're still believing yourself to be a body, then you should be worshiping form. Yeah. You need to be worshiping the presence in the form of something, your guru, master, whatever. But when you know yourself in a real sense, then you worship yourself directly without a middleman, including the body that you believed yourself to be. You discard that. No middleman, just direct.
Yeah. Yeah, the middleman causes the problems.
Yeah.
Well, the middleman helps for a while. I mean, until you kind of...
Yeah.
Yes. Like training wheels maybe on a bike.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, many of the masters will say, you know, it is more difficult. And even I had a discussion with another devotee sometime this week where we were talking, and the mantra is there to keep the mind busy so that you can have direct recognition of your own self. And Ramakant Maharaj talks about this in, he uses the example of the mother needs to bake the dinner and the little children are constantly bothering mother. So what does mother do? She puts some toys on the floor and the children leave her alone so she can concentrate on cooking dinner. Well, the mantra is given to keep the mind busy because you are very entertained by this mind, watching these thoughts and these ideas and this past and future playing on the screen, and you lose, you can't keep in contact with yourself because you're always getting carried away by these thoughts. So the mantra allows all of this to be erased slowly, silently, and permanently, so that it can be direct recognition of your own self, as Maharaj says, know yourself in a real sense. And that's it. There's a reflection in mind of the presence you are, and you remain there, and you just reflect. And it's constantly with your own selfless self. And then the mind can be there or not be there. But you've already erased this. Slowly, silently, and permanently, you've erased these illusory layers covering presence. As Master says, the ash and the fire. So the ash is all these thoughts and ideas and beliefs and your attention towards them. Mantra keeps the kids busy, keeps the mind busy, and erases these things slowly, silently, permanently. So the fire, the presence you are, can reflect directly in mind and you see yourself. Oh, so that I am that. And then you remain there. You're no longer interested in all the things going on around. You're more interested in yourself because yourself is the new toy now. It's like, wow, so that I. Now I just want to remain with myself. Entire world appears upon spontaneous presence. Master said that. The longer I remain with myself, I see that. So there's no need to get really involved in all these things. I want to be involved with myself.
Oh. There's Keith.
Yeah. Yes. Hello, Keith. Jai Guru.
But the body can still have, be allowed to have some of its interests sort of carry on.
Well, remember, the body doesn't have interests. The body is dead. It's blood, flesh, and bones. What interest does this body have? It's the presence within the body that has an interest when it identifies with the body that you are not.
But I mean, somehow the body can still allow us to enjoy stuff that the body is involved with, kind of.
Like, the presence, your formless presence is the enjoyer, using the body form as an instrument, but it's not that the body's allowing you to do anything other than experience the existence,
makes it
the
possible.
Illusion the of existence and the illusion of experience.
Yeah, the body makes it possible to feel limited things.
Like, but remember again, when you remain with yourself, it is like heaven. I mean, why play with this body-based existence anymore? You're remaining with yourself. The presence is reflecting, but like on the mirror. The mirror is clear. It's your mind is just reflecting. It's no longer having all these thoughts and all this. It's what it's supposed to do. It just reflects presence. And that's it. You remain there. As Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you remain with the I am. Of course, you do your job, do your duties. You have your experiences and enjoy what's happening as long as you're holding the body. Why not? But you remain with yourself. All experience appears upon your spontaneous presence, and you remain with presence. So an experience that appears on your spontaneous presence, number one, it has like a buffer. It's no longer a direct, like, oh my God, this is happening to me. No, this is an experience. This is coming and going, and I'm formless.
It's just a phenomena.
Yeah.
It's still good to eat good food, good tasting food, rather than bad tasting food.
Yeah. I mean, you know. And make sure that, like Maharaj says, he's placed all these delicious dishes in front of you. And you say, wow, these dishes are so delicious. And he describes how delicious each dish is. Well, now dig in. You know? Dig in. Enjoy your selfless self.
You just don't get attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. All the experiences come and go. You know yourself in a real sense, you can't get involved in these things. It's almost not possible. You could play your part, you know, play a very nice role, but you can't get involved because you're formless. There's like, there's just nothing like this.
That's what I was always looking for, and it's starting to develop is ability to not be attached naturally without, you know, without... thinking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't make attachment a task. Oh, I have to detach myself from all these things because that's an activity. And then a sense of doership arises. I must detach myself from all these things. Plus you maybe remain miserable being detached. Yeah. I don't want a new car. don't want more money. Don't need nice clothes. I'm detached. But don't be a grumpy, detached person. You remain with yourself with self, and you naturally detach because you're formless. If something's there, nice. Something's not there, you don't miss it. Well, desire. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because you see the emptiness of it. That's the only thing that keeps you from it, is knowing that it's like the fool's gold instead of the real gold.
Exactly. Maharaj talks about it as fake notes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fake notes. He calls it fake notes. And your wheelbarrow's full of fake notes. How much bread can you buy with that? None. So, why collect fake notes?
Ranjit called it building castles in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what helps so much is to know that it's not true. I mean, it's all imagination. Everything is like mental images or creations. And knowing that, then you don't get attached. I mean, doesn't mean you don't have a preference maybe for apples over bananas or something like that. But, you know, I'll eat an apple.
Yeah, I mean, even in your dream, if you dream tonight and somebody says, hey, let's light ourselves on fire, you'd probably be like, yeah, I mean, no, thanks anyway. That's not an experience I'd like to experience. And that would be like a preference, like, oh, I don't want to light myself on fire. And even if you knew it was a dream, you probably wouldn't do that. So when you know yourself in a real sense, the whole world is like, you could say, okay, if you're identifying as a body-mind, then the world is within your mind. Like, if you were saying, okay, this consciousness, right? All of the thoughts that are appearing inside this little limited head are this. All of these people are just like the dream characters, and it's all within the bubble of illusion. Nothing is outside the bubble of illusion other than that to whom the illusion has appeared in the first place with a concept, I exist as something other. And now that I know my existence, boom, look at all this stuff to look at.
There's a lot of stuff these days.
a lot of happenings that are not happening. Yeah. And if I sit there and raise, that's the most funny thing. If I'm sitting there and I'm watching the news and I'm all getting all upset, and my heart is all disturbed and my blood pressure is going up for something that's not actually happening. It's like, okay, I'm going to have, and then I go to the doctor and the doctor says, wow, you're under a lot of stress. Well, I watch a lot of news and this and that. And yet, it's illusion, and it comes and goes.
Yeah. It's like a cyclone that comes and goes.
Yeah, I mean, you remain with yourself, with self, and know that everything is just a dreamlike existence, because you're not a body. Just think about that. Take away the body, and how is the world? How is the world?
Well, if you take away the body, you can shapeshift. You could be anything. You could be, you know, your consciousness could inhabit any form. So you're not limited to the body. So you could be a fish in the sea or whatever. It's just a different form. It's the same. The consciousness informs everything, but you could have a different shape, a different, you know.
Well, that's why you see yourself in everything, I guess, right?
Well, that's how it is right now. You are a fish in an ocean somewhere, and you're the power that powers the waves. You're the power that moves the moon back and forth so that the whole ocean can do its little tide thing. You're the wind. You're the sun, the moon, the lights, the stars, just as you are when you lay down at night and dream. If you see the moon and you're on the beach, then you're also, you know, oh, this is coming from my own self. The entire universe. Everything.
I think Ramakam Harasha is your baby, right?
Yeah.
Your baby.
Everything. Everything that's here is you. Everything. And you know this because you know, oh, my presence is in every being. How do I know this? Because I'm formless. I know this. I have a direct recognition of the sense of presence. And that sense of presence, whether that form is experiencing the sense of presence in this way or not, is that presence. Because you look around and right now we see all these on the screen. If presence is pulled away from Trish and John and Kathleen, just the formless presence, then bloop, it's just a dead body. It's a lump of goo. It has no existence of its own. It has no ability to do anything on its own. Other than when the presence is there, you can eat and the presence will grow. And you put water and the presence will grow. Your body is like a plant. And yet, if the presence is removed from this body right now, if we could do that and say, okay, no more presence in this body, just going in expansion back into the totality, so to speak, the limited appearing universal, and this is here. That's it. There's no more talking. And yet the presence in this body is no longer experiencing this. Now the presence in those bodies will say, oh, John died on camera. How sad. But there'll be no experience of this dying on camera, nor will be there any of the, like there's some kind of concept that when this presence leaves the body, then I'm thinking about how all the other, how is my body being taken care of? You know, is my will being read the way I like it? My life insurance policy and all this kind of, no, these are only thoughts that while you're in the body-based existence, you're thinking. When I die, I hope they take care of my body. They don't just throw it out on the street or whatever. But you're only thinking about that while you're in the body-based existence. Outside the body-based existence, there's no thought about this. And yet all of the other self that you are seeing will say, oh, John's dead. But John will have no experience of being dead.
Earlier, you said take away the body. Do you mean...
No, take away the body means...
Now, maybe a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So, take away body means, does it mean stop identifying with the body and then see what is there? Or are you seeing like literally...
I'm saying that if you could grab presence and pull it out of this body, this is nothing but a dead body. And presence is just back with its totality. It's the limited...
Okay, you're saying that is the vital thing, vitality in the body.
Yeah, the vitality, the sense of presence is you, is the life force, is the whatever you want to call it, the formlessness, the formless holder of the body.
Okay.
Why Maharaj would say, the presence is removed from this body, you bury or burn it. It's useless. It's firewood.
Okay.
When presence clicked with the body, you said, I exist. When this, and this I that knew existence was there prior to beingness, prior to body, and will be there after this, because again, I consider it the space in the room. The space in the room, this is just a lump. Just like a plant, but not even like a plant because there's nothing there. It's just this empty shell of a thing. The space animates this, opens its eyes, forgets immediately that it's space because now it's a perceiving point of look at all this stuff. Look at where I am. And I don't remember that I'm the space. And as I'm seeing, I see a world. And every experience I have is from the perception of being something in a world. But that's not true. And then when this body can no longer sustain the essence, you go back to being the space that you are. The space inside the body, the space outside the body, the same. Just like Maharaj uses the example, this is a wall that separates between the bathroom and the kitchen. The wall comes down, the space in the kitchen and the space in the bathroom is exactly the same. For a time, there appeared to be a separation. This body form appeared separate than that body form because of the idea of being a body. When the walls come down, the space in that body or presence in that body and the space or presence in this body, of course, is one and the same because there's no more walls separating it. And the appearance of separation is only because of the concept, I am a body, I am somebody. But you're nobody, you're everybody.
Sir, I don't know whether Maharaj, you know, advised this way or not. What does it mean by I am? While being in mantra, like reciting the mantra, does it equal to being in I am?
No, so again, mantra invites the attention of the invisible listener, the sense of presence, I am. Mantra erases all the illusory layers slowly, silently, permanently. And again, if we go to the example of mother is baking dinner, but all the children are bothering mother. Mother gives the children some toys so she can concentrate on dinner. This is the example. Similarly, the mantra is given so that the mind is kept busy, because if you sit here and you try to have direct recognition of your own self, you know, this is why Maharaj gives this. The mantra erases slowly, silently, and permanently so that this sense of presence, this sense of I am, can reflect in a clear mind because you've erased all the illusory layers. Just like, again, the fire is presence. The fire is spirit. Fire is I am. But I am in the just I, not I am somebody else. I am presence, spirit, power, energy, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. This is all the thoughts of the illusory world and all the concepts, all the body-based knowledge, all the nonsense that seems to be covering the presence. The mantra erases this. That's why Maharaj says fire, but it's covered with ash. So it erases this slowly, silently, permanently. What happens when all the ash is gone? Fire is there. Presence, I am, power, energy is there. With the mind, without all these illusory layers, it reflects. And this reflection is felt as a sense of presence, and you're looking at your own self, direct recognition. Oh, so that I am that. That's why mantra is not like a forever thing. Like I've been given the mantra and now I'm supposed to have the mantra for the rest of my life. Every day I do the mantra. No, mantra continues until it becomes spontaneous within you. And basically you have direct recognition of yourself. And if for some reason you fall back into the illusory ditch before that conviction is rooted, then mantra comes again, okay, erase whatever this is seemingly happening. I know it's not happening. Back to presence. I remain with the selfless self. Be with you always.
It works without you knowing it, though, somehow.
Yeah. Well, mantra is there to keep the mind busy. And I explained when I was in India and I kept the mantra very, very tight, where I was constantly, I was able to watch my body move around and go through different various experiences without creating an experiencer. So I could remain with my selfless self without adding experiences of I'm having good experience or bad experience. Mind is kept busy, so there's nothing in memory. No footprints of I'm experiencing this, or I don't want to experience that. I hope this experience doesn't happen again. Imagine if I was recording and every day, whether is it going to be cold water, hot water, no water. No, I wake up, continuing mantra, go into the bathroom, mantra, excuse me, mantra, and seemingly whatever is happening, cold water, hot water, no water, shower is taken, start the day. So it's not like the next day I say, oh my God, not another day. What if there's no hot water? No hot water? This is not happening because remaining with your selfless self, you're not creating these footprints in memory. So this principle of desire and fear or pleasure and pain doesn't arise. It's just momentary scenes. this is your life that I'm describing. This is basically like everybody. This is your experience. It's temporary scenes in the moment. It's the concept of I am somebody who's having these experiences, and then the illusion of these footprints that are impressed in memory. I don't want this experience. I do want that experience. But have no experience, no experiencer. And as you remain with mantra, you remain with your selfless self. You're not having experience or experiencer because the mind is in abeyance. It's not sitting there recording. It's not saying, oh, this was a bad experience, or oh, this is a good experience. I hope today is a good day. No, I just woke up and here I am. And that's it. It's just, okay, what's happening? I don't know. It's just going to happen.
So even if you had the food poisoning, it's just what you're going through at the moment. It's not like, why do I have to go through this?
That's exactly.
Additional thought that doesn't have to be there, or it could arise, but you just ignore it because you're just too busy being with the mantra.
Yes, and that's why food poisoning for me was probably the greatest blessing that I could have possibly been given, especially because I still had the Red Raksh beads on. I took them off, and I remember going to Maharaj and saying, these beads, I took them off. I seem to have offended that presence. I understand I'm that presence, but somehow I've offended it, and I feel like I should put the beads back on, but I know that if I do, it's going to be a crutch. It's going to be a crutch, and I'm never going to say, okay, so that I am that. So I kept the beads off, and I went through whatever I went through, no matter how it ended. And I just remained with mantra. Yes, mantra, run to the bathroom, just throwing up like crazy, running back. And then other end also doing that thing and running back and mantra and the whole time. And then Maharaj coming in and saying, you know what? You're getting very, very weak. You know, we've tried to give you the liquids. We gave you some coconut milk and all this, but you're getting too weak. And I'm going to have a doctor come in and take a look at you. And then the doctor came in and said, you need to be put in the hospital to get some fluids in you because you're not doing well. So, okay, mantra, get in the car with Maharaj, drive through the town, look out the window, mantra. There's no experience of being driven to the hospital. There's no experience of all this kind of stuff. Go to the hospital, we sign in, go, sit in the bed, they put an IV. Now see, it's not the thought of, I'm a foreigner in this hospital, my God, I hope I live, I don't know what's gonna happen, I'm so scared. Nobody really even knows I'm in India other than one person. And if I die or whatever, no, man, it's just something happening. So they have the IV and Maharaj even says, then I'm going to go back to the ashram. I'll be back in a little bit of time. Okay, Maharaj, Jai Guru. He walks away, but there's no fear. There's no experience, no experiencer. And they're sitting, mantra. And before you even know it, Maharaj is back. He says, oh, they say that you have the fluids now. We can take you back to the ashram. Okay, Maharaj. Jai Guru. Thank you.
Maharaj was with you, sir, at that time.
Do what?
Maharaj visited you and admitted you in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Was Maharaj.
Huh? Yeah. And Tata.
Okay, Tatya. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and then that was it. And then they took me back and sat me down. And then... Vijay, Bapu, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. He would go and get like jelly and bread and stuff because I couldn't eat like the regular stuff for a while. I was only able to eat like jelly and bread and this sort of thing. And Maharaj would have him and he would go and he'd bring it back for me and I would eat the crackers. But I didn't freak out. You know what I'm saying? Because Maharaj and knowing, you know, presence in the form of Maharaj says, here's a mantra. All your worries are over. You lay them at my feet. You remain with your selfless self and don't experience the world anymore. You don't need to do that. You are formless. And anything that's happening is just to reinforce your formlessness. And it did. I mean, it was powerful. And then, you know, a year later, and this is a huge blessing too. Not even 15 minutes up the road. Now here's me. I've flown all the way to India to be with Maharaj for a month. Now in 1 year, Maharaj is flying to the USA and he's 15 minutes up the road. out of all the whole USA, he's 15 minutes up the road. And so it was just, you know.
I got something I'd like to throw out there. You know, I don't know if I had a sort of, I guess I could call it insight. I'd rather call it an insight than a concept, but it becomes a concept. And I don't know if it would have had the same effect on me prior to today if I had read it or heard it from somebody else. But the thought occurred to me, you know, I'm always thinking, I'm always noticing that selflessness somehow is more liberating than selfishness. There's a, sort of a difference there. There's a contrast anyway. And anyway, today I just noticed that we're all looking for freedom. I'm always looking for freedom from self, or freedom from dependence on things going the way I want, things that make me negative. And I just noticed that what actual freedom is not freedom for or to have something. It's actual freedom is freedom from self, freedom from having things go, to be a certain way. Rather, so, but normally I think of freedom as being freedom to do something or freedom for something to be, you know, a certain way or something. So, but the, you know, that's not freedom if it's, if the freedom's going to end up being a limited. So anyway, you might get the gist of what I'm saying. It's freedom from the
kind. Yeah, JK says freedom from the known, freedom from the contents of the mind.
Yeah, I read that book. I liked that book a lot. I thought it was the best book he ever read, actually, from my point of view.
Just remember that freedom is a concept that came along with the body. Take away the body and the concept of freedom doesn't make sense.
Right, yeah.
Because prior to beingness, there was no freedom. And after leaving the body, there's no freedom. Freedom as an experience of being free is just a recognition in the projection, oh, so that I am that. I am formless. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. How do I know I'm formless? Because I can sense that subtle presence, the I am, the just I. I without anything. And I without anything, and naturally, has no attributes of freedom or bondage because you're formless. Mm-hmm. Bondage, you can't bind a formless something. We talked about, even you build a walls around the formlessness, and you're not confining it in any way. That's why they use all the time the example of a jar and the space inside the jar and the space outside the jar. You break the jar, space is space. But the space was never the space inside the jar. It was just space. It's we who give the attributes of being closed once we're in the body-based existence, because we have this body and we see other objects. But prior to beingness, no freedom, no bondage, no even concept of formlessness, no even knowing yourself, because there's nothing other than yourself, to have a concept of I exist. And when you say I exist, or even the feeling I exist, that creates duality, because I feel existence. I feel I exist. Well, this I that feels I exists, but doesn't know I exist. And when I exist and I know I exist, a world is created. Both in the so-called, you know, the dream consciousness and the so-called waking consciousness, which it's all one consciousness. The sense I exist creates a world. Whether I be laying down at sleep and suddenly the stirring happens, I exist, boom, world is created. Or I exist and seemingly I'm in this body form and a world is projected. So there's no concept until we're within the body, and you're not a body. There can be no bondage. The bondage is illusory, and that's only because you identify with a mind float that I'm stuck inside of a body, which I'm not. You're formless. And not the concept of formless. Just like we said, you're nothing except your selfless self, no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master, nothing is there. But it's not you experiencing this nothing. You are all of everything. And therefore, experiencing nothing, but there's no experience of nothing because there's nothing other than yourself. And that's why Maharaj says, where all experience ends, there you are.
All experience.
Somebody might think, well, that sounds like double talk, but actually the assumption that duality is real is a double talk. I mean, that's the nature of it.
Yeah, I mean, but you can see, I can talk till I'm blue in the face about all of this non-duality and this and all this is true, but you'll investigate this for your own self and you'll be like, well, it's true. And now I can't doubt myself because I'm having direct recognition. I'm having direct experience of my own self while in the body form. Therefore, I know whether the body is here or not, I am. And you know this. So, mantra for short time until the thoughts are clear, you have direct recognition of your own self. Oh, you start to feel that subtle sense of presence, the I am, the power, the energy, consciousness, and you just remain. And as things appear out here, no, just remain. That sense of existence grows, that sense of presence, power, energy, you feel it growing. And it's not that it's growing, because remember, you're all of everything. It's that the body is being dissolved slowly, silently, and permanently. This body is like a pressure, and you're just dissolving it layer after layer after layer. And it seems that the presence is expanding because the body's dissolving. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. Then you ask, well, so who am I? Well, the questioner is the answer. Who am I? There's only myself. I need to investigate, who's this self that I am?
Who could ask the question?
Yeah, and remain with yourself the self. Just whatever practice is just, and Bhajan does the same thing. Bhajan shakes apart, again, because you feel pressurized in a body, which you are not, but for a time you may believe this. So mantra, erasing the layers of illusion that are trying to keep you, that you're a body. Bhajan, that shakes apart the pressure of being the body. And the sense of presence, existence, I am, consciousness, just I. And you remain. And it reflects and continuously reflects. Then there's selfless self-intoxication because there ain't nothing like your own self. No matter how many little baubles and bright lights and sounds and all of that, you want yourself only. Because you learn that the bright lights, they fade. Other things rust. They decay. They die. All these forms. They lose, you know, just like a banana sitting on the counter. It curls up and dies. But you don't. So remain with what is. Presence. And behind every experience, your presence is there. And you can find that. Next time you're in an experience that seems very troubling, say, aha! Just like with the food poisoning. This is an opportunity to find the presence in back of this seemingly troubling experience. And once I'm there, I know, oh, this experience is appearing in my presence. I'd rather remain with the presence. Allow the experience to just come and go, just a nice scene. I remain with my selfless self.
Yeah. Outside of time.
Yep, because time needs an object within space, and you're formless. So there's no object to measure other objects and create a sense of time.
What doesn't make sense to from a logical point of view is that this can be the same for everyone, but I guess it's sort of like there's only one self, but even that's saying too much, you know.
We just have to discover, you know, you've been told the good news. You are not a body. Okay, if I'm not a body, who am I? I remain with my selfless self. Master says, he plants the seed of reality within your selfless self. So now you water it with bhajan, with the knowledge, and remaining with your selfless self, with mantra to clear away the illusory layers, the antivirus software. And now you know yourself. Now you go about, you do your job, do your duties, and in every experience, you know, oh, I'm there. So I can sort of fall back into myself rather than jump out into this experience. Now, of course, you're formless. So we're using example, jump out of yourself into the experience or remain with yourself, fall back into yourself, fall back into the sense of presence, which is the base of every experience. Or jump out of yourself into the experience. And it's the same as in the beginner of being in the river, flowing along with thoughts, and then suddenly understanding that you can stand outside of the river. Or even better, you think the river is 20 feet deep, but you're able to stand up. Wow, why was I allowing this river to drag me all over the place? I can just stand up. It's only 2 feet tall, and I walk out. So that's like the beginners of I am not body and mind. And now, wait a minute, I'm nothing to do with this world. Now I know this, I want to remain with the sense of my self, presence, consciousness in which all of this is created, whatever you want to call it, power, energy, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity, that you are.
Then you're no longer standing in the water, you're surfing on it, maybe.
There's no water.
No water.
Because you're the space, which is containing the water, and the little bank, and the little guy who's looking at the water and the bank, and everything around it, and giving the power and the energy of the water flowing, and the power and the energy of this little guy watching.
You're the father of all.
Yes. You're father of the world. Maharaj says this.
I know Ranjit once said that, told everyone that, I don't know who he was, I reckon this too, one of the disciples, who was very much a follower of Christ. And he said, you are the father of Christ.
Yeah. Without your presence, nothing is. It's just a little mistake that you believe this body is this presence, or this is your presence in this body. Just as if you had identified with one of your dream characters. Tonight when you fall asleep, and you do actually, usually when you're dreaming, you think you're one of the characters in the dream. You think, oh, I'm having this experience. It's not until after the dream that you wake up and understand, oh, I couldn't have been any of those things because I was just sleeping. And now you've been told and you can investigate for yourself. And the moment there's a recognition, oh, so that I am that. It's just like waking up from the dream. So none of this could be true because there's just this. This very, very subtle presence. Yes. That's all there is. So all of this stuff can't be real.
I had this really weird dream a couple of days ago where I was awake in the dream and I knew I was dreaming, and it was just very surrealistic. It was interesting. I've had that a long time ago. first time that's happened in a long time.
Yeah, well, that's now. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you could be saying, I'm awake within the dream. I know that I'm formless, but there are still things that are appearing. I'm still going and doing my job. And that's why Maharaj says, now you do your very nice role. You have the role of John. So enjoy this role of John. Be John. Okay. Somebody calls your name. You don't say, oh, I'm formless. I don't answer to John anymore because I'm everything. No.
Hello, this is not me. Everything.
You just play your role very nicely. Okay, John. Okay, okay. Good, good. But you know yourself in a real sense.
Yeah, we're all like King Lear, playing a role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Except we know we're going to go home and pop open the beer and the potato chips and sit in front of the TV.
Yeah. You know yourself in a real sense. This is just for a time. I'm appearing as John, but John is an appearance in presence. There's no John separate from presence, and there's no presence that is when this body John is no more. It's just John has disappeared from the experiencing, and that's it. One character gone from the dream, and you're formless. So John's not here, but you're still here in the forms of anything else, as you are everything. You don't go away. Like, it's not like your presence can just, in this body, suddenly gone. No, because presence is presence. The body is an appearance in presence, or on presence, or through presence, whatever you want to call it. It's just an illusory thing, like in your dream. It's only because of identification with the body, and this is my life, that it appears. And that's why Maharaj says, I am a body is a long dream. Because as long as you're the holder of the body, you're seeing and experiencing this body-based existence, but you know it's absolutely illusion. So you don't take the touch.
Yeah. There's still like a residue, though, of I notice when I have a dream and it's like very traumatic or something really, you know, not so good, you know, and when I, even when I wake up from it, there's sort of this residue that it takes me a little, like an hour or so to forget that it was just, you know, for the body to settle down because, you know, all these things come up and, you know, because when you're in the dream, it feels real. You know, you don't know it's a dream when you're in it. So your experience, you're having all these reactions, you know, as a dream character. And then when you wake up, you think, oh, thank God that, you know, that didn't happen. But it takes a little while for it to sort of shake out of the body. That's right. I notice.
That's strong identification.
Yeah.
Strong identification with the character as that I am.
Yeah. And there's a worry that, you know, oh, maybe that is me. You know, sort of like, why did that happen? And is there something in me that generated that? And then there's all these, you know, ideas about it. And it's like causing, you know, constriction or what is it? Contractions. And then I wake up and of course it's not true. So but it takes a while for that to sort of, you know, I don't know, it sort of go through the realization that, oh, okay, that didn't really happen, so I don't have to be upset about that.
But that's the intellect and the rationalization and also trying with identification to explain through logic. Basically doing the same thing in this waking dream, and it would be good just to, it's finished.
Yeah.
And that's actually good to look at how this mind, ego, intellect is very connected and the identification stream. Because if there's identification with the dream to the point where the body is very, you know, involved and you're still 1 hour after the dream, impressions are there.
Yeah.
Then that's a perfect time, even before, without, as soon as you wake up, remain with your selfless self, because that's perfect. Okay, I'm all upset about this dream. Okay, let's just remain. Because it's all identification. It's absolutely false. There is no doubt. Like you could say that the mind still has a little bit of a doubt that it's identified with Kathleen and is all this really true or what's going to happen when Kathleen leaves the body and all that. But the dream you know is absolutely false, so you can use this as a doorway into your own self to remain with yourself.
Yeah, because, you know, I realize there's a thought there that says, how come I had this dream and what does it mean about me?
Exactly.
You know, that's sort of the link that, you know, it means that, oh, there must be something wrong here if I have this dream, and what is it, you know, that's going on? And so there's this, the identification, you know, it floats through to the waking state for a while. And then,
because it's so strong.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's such strong identification with being a form.
Yeah.
And that you can break more easily probably through the dream than you could in the waking, because if it's that strong in the dream, then probably it's very strong in the waking. You may have covered it over with other things, but it's seemingly, if you're coming out of a dream, the best thing, remain with yourself as self, maybe that's the time to mantra. Instead of trying to give it to mind, ego, intellect to try and logically figure out why I'm having this dream, understanding that it never happened. It's you're formless.
And there's nothing about, it doesn't mean anything about me. You know, the me.
But there's no you.
Yeah, that's right. I know that, you know, I know that intellectually, but, you know, it's like.
That's what I'm saying. The severing the intellect is perfect. In a dream, next time you have a dream and you're identified so heavily, wake up and sit up in bed and just sit with mantra. Don't allow the mind to go and play all these games, like you said, for like an hour after the dream.
Yeah.
Mantra. Because it'll sever this connection. Because you absolutely know it was a dream when you wake up.
Right.
So mantra, then it'll disappear. Then you'll start to maybe see in your waking dream, when you start to get tied up in identification, this is similar to what happened then. So I remain with my selfless self.
Yeah, well, there is a similarity. I think some of the emotional states that are in the dream are also in this dream. You know, they carry over from one dream to the other.
Because it's the same formless consciousness that's projecting everything and writing the story, basically, spontaneously.
Yeah.
You're formless, so you're projecting the sense of existence when you're sleeping mixes with this and projects a dream world, and in the same state presents a waking world, but it's only one consciousness presenting both. That's what I'm saying. The doorway could be, because the dream is absolutely, you absolutely know it's false. So you can mantra through that experience and remove it and then start to begin to see. Because truly, and not beating or being mean, but there's a lot of identification if you're identifying with a dream and it lasts throughout the dream, you know, after the dream.
Right.
Because every experience should be literally, whether if you dream that you are on the rack being tortured for hours, you should be able to wake up and be like, whoa, that was terrible. But finish. Like,
yeah.
Not like, I wonder what that means. Like, you know, am I torturing myself? What am I doing? It's every experience. Just pick up the water, put it down. No thoughts about it. Not given to mind, ego, intellect. Intellect can be used to say like, oh, look, you're having a sale, 30% off and free shipping. So I start to, you know, I figure out, Or 30% off free shipping with over $100. So I have to figure out what's the best thing. I use my intellect for that, but not for identification and not for trying to produce a logic puzzle of why these things are happening, because they're not happening. Nothing's happening. So the logic of how it's happening is just imagination.
Yeah.
I'll convince myself that things are happening in this certain way because of this, but nothing's happening and there's no reasoning.
Yeah.
And yet everything is connected with its own self because it's all inside of the bubble of illusion.
Right. Yeah, there's a flavor to it, I guess you could say.
Oh my God, wow, it's 8:24. Speaking of...
It's time to go to bed now.
Yes, indeed.
Have a dream.
Very great. Jai Guru.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.